Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime. Today we thought we'd talk about the issue of trust, and specifically, how do you win the trust of your colleagues when you're a new person, mm-hmm. whether you're a new boss, a new employee, or a new team member?
I feel the same way when I've got a new client. I have to build trust.
Yes.
I mean, to me, trust is very fragile. It takes a while to build it, and you can break it down in a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think when it's somebody new, for me, you have to really do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like your words have to match your actions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So be careful not to overpromise.
And underdeliver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think the other part is to really understand that trust is a process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Building trust is mm-hmm. a process, and that you actually have to earn it. Mm-hmm. I always find it interesting, like when you think about with the client thing, that it's really important to listen enough that I don't jump in with an assumed solution or mm-hmm. assumed understanding of what the other person is talking about. And I think the same is true, for example, if you come to a group and you're a leader or a boss, that you really have to listen to the staff or mm-hmm. listen to your employers first to understand or to win their trust that you actually care about what they've been doing up mm-hmm. until now, and that you want to know what their experience and their expertise is.
Yeah, right. I think that's true, that when you come into something new, you don't want to discount what's been going on.
Right.
You want to come in and hear it first mm-hmm. and be part of it and understand it and acknowledge it before you make any changes.
Right.
That's for somebody who's coming into a leadership position.
Yeah.
But I think that's true. People, you know, when you have a fresh insight, a fresh look at something, you may have some ideas, but it's always good to, you know, wait and for receptivity before you mm-hmm. even right. put those out.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know that everybody thinks about trust when they first go into a job.
Yeah. Mm.
I think they're thinking, you know, do I trust them? They're not always right. thinking about right. do they trust me?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So I think you do want to think about building your own credibility through trust.
Right.
You know, building trust, being trustworthy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you got to really keep your nose clean. I hate that expression, but you got to...
Use a tissue.
Yeah, use a tissue.
So if you bring a box of Kleenex, that will be a good demonstration.
I'm sorry I said that.
No, that was not good.
That's right. We're kidding.
Maybe you can cut that out. I don't like that.
Well, but you're right in the sense that you have to demonstrate, I think, what you're saying. You have to... We were just talking about this concept of show, don't tell. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I just said the word honestly. When someone says to me, to be totally honest with you, I immediately think, this is not an honest person. But if someone shows me that they are honest consistently with me, or that they try their best to tell the truth of what's going on, that will win my trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've made the mistake of trusting and then finding out later I can't trust.
Yes.
So I right. try not to do that anymore. Like, I give everyone
automatically
the benefit of the doubt.
Right. I just assume you're trustworthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If your resume is fine, you got here, you know, I assume that you're trustworthy. Mm-hmm. But people have disappointed me, so now I wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good idea to wait. But that has nothing to do with you proving yourself.
Yes.
That it's important that if you want to be trusted, you have to be trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's different levels to that.
So what would we say are some of the trustworthy behaviors? What behaviors, I'd be curious, Logan and Kathy, would build your trust with someone?
Well, definitely somebody who does what they say they're going to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that their body language matches what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. and that's very subtle sometimes, but I pick that up. I pick up that people are saying yes to me when their body's saying no.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So that's something I look for. I also look to see how they treat other people.
Yeah.
And if they turn around,
that's a big one.
And treat, you know, some one way and some another way, I don't always trust that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Logan? Do you have any?
That's actually a big one for me.
Which one?
The last piece you said, watching how they treat other people, or maybe if they come to me and they're speaking to someone or about someone in a certain way,
yeah.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, are they going to another person and saying, you know, Logan, da-da-da-da-da?
You know, I was thinking about this in the shower this morning, that I have this girlfriend. I don't like the way her husband talks to her and treats her. And I was thinking, you know, if he could do that to me one day, like, why? It's not just for her. I'm sure he's going to end up so,
Right.
Yeah.
It's creepy to me. I don't like that.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not, I think if you have the ability to be that way. I also had another client say to me, a friend said something he didn't like, and he said, you know, you don't talk to friends that way. Mm. I thought, well, that's interesting. He's probably right. You don't talk to friends that way. If you really love somebody, you talk to them differently, or you care about them.
Yeah.
Right,
so I
right.
think to watch how they treat others is a real indication of what you can trust.
Right. Well, and it sounds like in that is hoping that the person treats people in a respectful manner.
Yeah.
In a consistent manner. Mm-hmm. So it's not.
I think it ties into professionalism overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Catherine? What are your trust factors?
You know, it's interesting. My things have a lot to do with you saying following through in what you say you're going to do. A lot of times it has to do with even the timing of that. Like if someone says, I'll call you tomorrow, and then they don't call me.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. What happens to you?
Well, that experience, well, as we know, I had a long dating history. So
oh, no.
That particular line.
Let's say it's
was
professional.
Offered many times.
Blocked.
But it could be, I'll send you that document, or, you know, it's anything where there's a promise of a certain timing and it doesn't happen, that erodes my trust a little bit. The other thing is goes to the other thing you're saying, which is, if someone starts to gossip or criticize someone else to me, like, and acting as if that's fun information that they're sharing with me, that does not build my trust. Mm-hmm. That makes me very...
Catherine doesn't like that. She doesn't like gossip. You can call me. I'll gossip with you. But you're right.
No, because I just assume they're going to do the same thing to me.
Exactly.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
They have. Doing it right now.
Right. So I'd say those two are big ones for me.
I also watch, you know, how they handle their work. If they, you know, take shortcuts or, you know, pass work off onto other people or act like they didn't see that. Oh, I didn't see that email. Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, that's a big one.
I don't know about that.
Right. Well, also, if they don't own their mistakes, that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
so. People who don't take accountability.
Yeah, that's a trust breaker. My jaw's getting tight just thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know, because then I can't trust you that in the time if something goes wrong that you're going to take responsibility for it with me. You know, you don't have to take all the responsibility, but we need to be able to work it out together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's
a person who could throw you under the bus.
Ding ding. Several buses, depending.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so people tell you what their ethics and their, you know, morals are as you get to know them. I mean, they don't come out and say it, but you see that, you know, maybe they have different ethics than you.
Yeah.
Right.
They think it's okay to, you know, have someone else do their work or just not do it and blame it on somebody else. So
right. That's right.
Yeah. So
or that a little lie doesn't really matter.
Right, a little lie, right. Or taking off a lot of time and you see on Facebook they're at the beach.
Yes.
Something like that. Or
I've had that happen,
using
too.
Using fake excuses that don't really add up.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not, that will really hurt relationships, I think.
Right. So
for me, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're talking about then, and I actually think it's very interesting. We're working with a certain client right now where there's a new leader, and we really hear from the staff that they're watching, and person is acting in a very trustworthy manner, very consistent. It's so interesting to hear them say it's looking good. You know that.
Yeah.
So what are some qualities that this person is betraying them.
Very honest, very communicative, mm-hmm. very clear with expectations, mm-hmm. and also admitting areas where they don't have the strength necessarily, or the skills, or the experience.
Right.
Those are the things that catch my attention.
He's looking really trustworthy, and mm-hmm. you know, over to, but people are really watching.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
Right, which makes me think that that's what happens when you come in. If you're the new person, mm-hmm. yeah. that's what's happening. The people you work with are scrutinizing you mm-hmm. to see who is this person, and right. are you consistent, and do your words and actions match, and et cetera, whatever their standards are.
Right. Yeah.
As they should.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, you know, feeling each other out on many levels all the time anyway, like dogs, you know, we're sniffing each other.
Yeah, yes.
But the trust thing is, the thing I find with trust is when it's broken, it's very hard to repair.
Yes.
You can repair it, but it's yeah. very hard to repair. So, and this is what we're talking about in the professional world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's you, in order to have a long-standing relationship with your colleagues, yeah. whether you stay at that job or you work with them in another capacity, there needs to be a trust level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet, isn't that that's also a part of building trust, that if you've done something that may have broken the mm-hmm. trust, that you own it. Right. Mm-hmm. And say, I'm sorry, I've done this. What can I do to rebuild the trust between us?
Mm-hmm. Right.
In one way or another. I mean, that takes a lot of perseverance, I think, a willingness, sure. let's say.
Yeah. I think most people will just hide and run and hope they never see you again when that happens.
Hope that patches itself up.
I'm just going to have a drink and forget that happened.
Exactly.
But good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's best, I agree with you, to say, you know, I learned from that. I made yeah. a mistake and I learned a lesson from that. And then yeah. you really got to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
yeah.
And try to be a better person.
Yeah.
You know, your career is definitely built on relationships. Mm-hmm. Because you're not mm-hmm. a robot. It's built yeah. on, yeah. you know, people trusting you and rehiring you and... or promoting you. So it's a fragile thing that everybody has to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I also see people that always give somebody else another break.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that can erode your reputation
uh-huh. yeah.
by bringing in untrustworthy people and having them make you look bad.
That's
so
true.
This is something you really have to weigh. What is the infraction? How bad is it?
Well, that's a really interesting point, because I think, I mean, just even using the Bernie Madoff example.
Oh, my God. But he's criminal.
That's a good one.
But what's so interesting is I think there were probably people who at some point in their mind thought, I can't believe we keep making so much money on investments. You know, like something about this just seems maybe unreal. Mm-hmm. But because we want to believe that result can be produced, then you don't necessarily scrutinize more deeply the other person's actions.
I mean, right. I've always had a lot of questions about what he was able, in my head, what yeah. he was able to accomplish, because I know people that were hurt by him, and they're not stupid people.
No.
So at what point did they just hide their head in the sand and think, this is amazing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Bernie was really manipulative, and he didn't take everybody.
Uh-huh.
So then it set up this mystique. Well, we're special. We're in a special club, and right. not everybody can get in. So therefore, this is something only Bernie can do. You know, somehow right. he convinced them that it was legit and that they were special. That's why they're getting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think those people are taking some hard, you know, hard lessons. Right. And institutions. He hurt a lot of institutions. I mean, he's not the only criminal out there that has been really good at manipulation. So interesting thing about him is, so he lied and it wasn't discernible.
Oh. You mean he never looked as if he were lying?
Well, apparently not. I mean, I never met him, so
right.
But so, you know,
that's right.
Because I pride myself on really being able to read people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
would I have been able to read him? I know smart people that got right. snookered by him. So there, you know, there are, I mean, he got away with it for a very long time.
Long time, it's true. Mm-hmm. So it's not always possible to discern whether someone is trustworthy.
Some people are really good at covering it up. They are able
yeah.
to not show their cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe.
I don't like that.
of course not.
The snake in the grass.
But can you imagine how he did that? I mean,
yeah.
So yeah. I would imagine there's people that do it to a lesser degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they get pretty far in life. So
yeah.
Well, yeah, not, I don't know why I'm bringing this up because this is tough. You know, well, what do you do with it?
But I was talking about how sometimes having mixed motives can shade your perspective on someone, you know.
And right.
If you, right. you think, okay, well, so and so, I can tell they're a little, you know, slimy, but they're making us lots of money.
So I'm gonna, right. Well, that's right. That's the,
and that right. happens, right?
Right?
In different ways in work situations. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just
yeah. Well, I've worked with somebody who we call the charming cheater liar,
yes.
And I think it's true. Like he was very successful at what he was doing, and we all knew that he was a liar and he cheated, and
right.
he, you know, we all knew that. But yet we went along for the ride to a certain extent,
right?
Right.
Because he
right.
was he brought in a lot of business, but I got away from him as quick as I could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, ultimately, he was revolting.
Right. Of
because
course.
I knew that one day that was going to come to a crashing halt. I don't yeah. know whether it did or not.
Yeah.
But also for me...
a little bit of entertainment in that kind of stuff.
Oh, definitely entertainment.
Right. Well...
with some flair in the office, you know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. he cheated on everybody. He cheated on his wife. He cheated on the customers. He just right. cheated. So you know oh. he was going to cheat on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
I don't ever remember getting hurt by him.
Yeah.
I didn't stick around long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a funny thing. You have to know what your limits are.
Well, and yeah. what your value system is. Because we're really talking about, or if in the beginning of this conversation, we were talking about winning the trust of the people when you're the new person.
We went far.
We did. That. We went far, but that's okay.
But we're coming from a premise, really, an assumption that you want to win their trust.
Yeah.
You want to be trustworthy,
yeah.
right? We're really sort of setting that bar there. And now we're also talking about, well, there are people like the charming cheater liar who have no intention of winning your trust. They're just going to win
well,
you over.
Well, I think he could yeah. charm you. He was in sales. He could charm the pants off of you. When he did
literally
many women, he got into many places.
He charmed many pants.
Oh, wow.
He had a suitcase. We had briefcases then full of jewelry that he would, you know, so that he always had a gift he could give
oh,
a girl.
My
I know.
Goodness. He had it down to his science.
He really had it down. And, you know,
wow.
who didn't want, like, a pearl necklace or whatever
right.
he had? It was,
yeah.
you know, yeah.
That's well, funny. I was just thinking of another thing that makes me skeptical of someone is when I hear them say a line that I know is, like, a canned
ew,
line
like
that
what?
They say all the time. I don't know. I won't be able well, to think of it in the spot. But
you
just...
win some, you lose some.
Well, I recently met somebody that I, you know, I could see he had this ability to turn the charm on.
Yes.
And but underneath it, there was a coldness, and I picked it up immediately and didn't buy it. So, you know, we all get burned along the way, and
yes.
then those become our, like, we...
teachers.
Yeah, right. We know that when we see it again.
Yes.
Right. Hopefully.
That's so interesting, because I think that's the other thing, is you want to... be able to trust the authenticity of who someone is
yes.
showing you
yes.
they are, right?
Like, yes.
right.
if we, I remember we were at a consulting gig and this woman was crying and we realized that they were crocodile tears. Like, she just turned
yes.
on the tears.
Yes.
And clearly, everything
I've
else.
I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Everything else about her behavior was not trustworthy. So
right.
There was no reason really to say, oh, poor thing.
Right.
But that was.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important element, I think.
Yeah, I actually had a client who came in from the front door crying, but there were no tears. And I called her on it.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I called her on it, and it turned out really interesting. She was in serious trouble, and I got to the core of it and was able to help her because they didn't buy her shtick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but, you know, the other people get away with it with me, I'm sure, and
yeah.
I don't
right.
pick up
right.
their... You know,
well, then we get into your fatal attractions.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be a three-hour-long podcast here. We just thought we were going to do a quick...
Yeah, well, since we wrote that book, I now know my fatal attraction. If you haven't read Working With You Is Killing Me and you haven't read the chapter on your fatal attractions, please read it.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
You have to buy the book, though, because we didn't. That one we don't give away for free.
Uh-huh.
But it's everybody's got fatal attractions. Everybody
right.
has
yes.
somebody that they're attracted to that ultimately hurts them.
Right.
Right.
And in a sense can pull the wool over their eyes, you know, can convince the individual that they're one kind of person and they turn out to be another kind of person.
Right.
But is there always intuitively something inside of us that says, I don't know.
Eventually.
This kind of reminds me of something, but you go for it anyway?
Yes, exactly. Because the human psyche, we're always trying to get a happy ending to an old story.
Mm.
So, for example, if you meet someone who, maybe you have someone in your history who would always say nice things to your face and then say horrible things behind your back, and then you meet someone who, and you can feel the energy has the, it's like a familiar quality.
Right.
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 What you're going to hope is that same person who's saying all these nice things to you, who on an emotional level, you're like, the wish, the psychological wish is that this one won't change on
right.
me.
Right. It'll be different.
Exactly. And that's why it's a fatal attraction, is we go in hoping for a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Does that explain it, Kathy?
I think so. So I'll just give you mine. Mine is a saboteur. I mean, I used to get backstabbed by, and they're always women.
Who try to win your trust.
Right. And I would buy their crap. They all did the same thing. And it really wasn't until it was pointed out to me. And then, I mean, now I, within 5 minutes, I know them. But I have a lot of experience and wrote a lot about it. So if I didn't have it, I'd be really pretty stupid. But what they do that wins me over is they're overly...
solicitous?
Yes. Oh my God, you're so fabulous. And oh, everything you say is so terrific. And, you know,
I want to learn what you
know.
Yeah.
And I've got so many clients I'm going to send you. And they're really overly. And as soon as they start to do that now, I mean, the truth is a normal person just says, oh, I'd like to get to know you. You know,
right.
I like,
right. Leave it at that.
They don't get overly. And I needed that. I needed that for a period of time, many years, because I didn't always feel accepted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was something that worked for me. And then they would ultimately take my clients, take all my stuff. And then run.
Oh, God.
And stab me in the back. Yeah. I have had several of them.
Yeah. Wow.
They kind of look alike, too. No, they do, right? Because they're all flashing.
I'm nodding. Yes, they do.
Flashing in my
face. Oh,
my
goodness.
My face.
Yeah. Trying to be seen. Hello. Here to sabotage you.
But
the last one, remember, well, I didn't buy it the last
one. No. That one burned out very quickly.
Well, the others would have also if I hadn't let them in and given them everything.
Yeah.
So this is the flip side of winning someone's trust, is letting people earn our trust. And I think that's such a great point, Kathy, that it's when people come on hot and heavy, you know, that same is true in relationships, men and ladies.
It is.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
People
no, it's, it
come
is the same.
Really hot and heavy at the beginning. You have to be suspicious only because it takes time to earn trust, to build trust, to show you who I am and you show me who you are.
Right. Right.
And we don't like that time. We want it. We want to cut to the end. You know, we want to know it's going to work out. We want to know the boss is going to be fantastic or the colleague is perfect. And we want to know those things rather than being willing to wait it out and see who they show us they are.
Right.
Is that a fair thing to say?
I think it's true. We, you know, because we're such an impatient culture, you know, we like instant coffee. Everything has to be really fast. So we don't have patience in developing trustworthy relationships. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know that everybody has the same fatal attraction as me. What's yours again?
Mine's pedestal smasher.
Oh, yeah.
And empty pits. We both like empty pits.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
So the pedestal smasher is someone who tells me that I'm the only one who can solve their problem and that I'm more skilled than anyone they've ever worked with. And they just know I can do it. And then I'm like, oh, yes. Same idea, really, that I don't believe it myself. So if someone says it, I'm like, yes, that's so true.
Yeah.
And then I take them on. And then within a few weeks or a few months, they begin to tell me everything I'm doing wrong. So they put you on a pedestal and then they smash you off of the pedestal.
Oh, boy.
Until they find the next person who they're going to put on a pedestal and eventually smash off the pedestal.
You have not had one in a long time, right?
I have not.
Because you've been successful. Has there been one that tried to get in?
Well, I think there's someone that we've been talking about that has that quality.
And,
but so far, I think I'm averting the experience. But yeah, so that's mine.
Wow. Mm.
So if you stick with us long enough, Logan, we'll figure out what your failure is.
I'm curious. I'm about to pull a book off the shelf and start reading.
Yeah, I mean, they can really wreak havoc in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I have them in my personal life as well as my professional. Mm-hmm. They would come in and they would take all my friends, or try to anyway. Mm-hmm. And that was a really hard one to get beyond that. So if you have somebody, you know, a repeated kind of pattern person in your life that really hurts you, you should pick up.
Working with you is killing me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if it's living with you is killing me. Even if it's someone in your personal life.
Because it's the same kind of
absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for my crazy office over time. Tweet us your stories about building trust or finding someone trustworthy to Ask K2. And join us next time.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.